This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how ordinary people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Our program is underwritten in part by the Indiana State Knights of Columbus. And now, here's today's program. This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Bridget Eyre.
Hello. Great to be with you.
And I don't know, this is the time of the year we talk about Christmas shopping. Some people have already got it done a long time ago. Some people haven't even thought about it yet. But my point in mentioning that is, if you are going to be buying online, and if you are going to be using Amazon at all, first do us a favor, if you would. Go to amazon.smile or smile.amazon. Either way, it's perfectly fine. And there you'll be asked for your name, address, email, or whatever. And then you can pick a charity to support. And if you pick Catholic Radio Indy, all three words, Catholic Radio Indy, we'll get a small percentage of everything you buy on Amazon, and you never have to think about it again. You don't have to do anything special when you check out. You don't have to, go to a special site or anything like that. So it helps us a whole bunch if you would do that. Again, it's smile.amazon or amazon.smile, either way.
Right. Well, with the holidays and the spirit of Christmas just around the corner, what better to give as a gift than a book, and a book that's tied to the reason for the season. So today we have two segments with authors sharing their new books. And for this segment, we're joined with Priscilla Smith McCaffrey talking about her new book, Christmas Blossom. Welcome to Faith in Action, Priscilla.
Thanks, Bridget and Jim. It's so good to talk to you.
Well, it's really interesting. You know, I get a lot of books sent my way by various authors and publishers, and this book, Christmas Blossoms, was not at all what I was expecting. not at all, but it was really, really pleasant, kind of a pleasant surprise in terms of just what you're doing with that on so many levels. Give us a little bit of background of the book itself.
Well, you know, I am interested. I almost want to interview other people to see what they think about it. So, but I'll give you the background, and the book Christmas Blossoms. It is different. There's not a lot of fa-la-la in it. It is about a Chinese artisan, and I've had this. It's a fictitious character, someone I've thought about over the years. Several years ago, I gave my daughter a Christmas gift. It was an ornament that was painted inside, and there were stallions in the ornament, and it was really lovely. It wasn't awesome, but it was lovely, and I've always enjoyed seeing her pull that ornament out, and I've always wondered, well, who does that kind of thing? Who paints the inside of a glass ornament so skillfully? And I assumed that the ornament was made in China, so I pursued, I just wanted to see what that craft was. And there is an ancient craft, Chinese craft of inner glass painting. And it's usually very precise and requires great skill. So I wondered, how would they know about Christmas over there? And in fact, as you know, so much of our Christmas stuff, religious and secular, is made in China. Mm-hmm. And I've often wondered, what sense do they make of the little baby in the manger, the Christ the King being born in a stable, holly, ivy, Santa, elves, Rudolph? How do they put that all together? Are they having, a kind of catechesis by seeing what the West desires for their Christmas?
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I developed a character. And I thought, why don't I make someone who really understands Christmas? Because he would have experienced it. So necessarily I had to, well, not necessarily, but I decided on a character who was born in 1940, before the revolution, the Communist Revolution in 1949. And at the time of the revolution, I think there were about 5 million Catholics in China. So, and there were cathedrals and churches, beautiful churches. So my character was raised in this Catholic family, and he understood the sights, sounds, and smells of Christmas. And so he brought that to his art. I have him in the factory working over the years, and his art develops as the winds of tolerance change. Initially, he's perfunctory in what he does, and then he begins to do very beautiful artwork because he understands the true meaning of the birth of Christ. And, of course, I haven't. He's a simple artisan, and he can't really speak as much as he'd like to about Christmas. So that's my character. That's who I started with.
That just really blew me away when I saw that, because it wasn't, again, I was expecting the fa la 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 children's book. So
I know. I don't know how to bill it. A parent has to read it with their children.
Absolutely. We're talking with Priscilla Smith McCaffrey. She is the author of Christmas Blossoms. And we have probably about 7-8 minutes left, but I want to make sure that we get to all this. So how did you happen to come up with this idea?
Well, as I said, I had the ornament, and I had just that curiosity about what they must think of Christmas. And
I'd really like to know. I'd love to know the answer to that question too.
Yeah. It does vary. They do allow the celebration of the secular holiday, Christmas. In fact, you know, it boosts sales, and as we all know,
mm-hmm.
they caught on to that pretty quickly.
Uh-huh.
And they do decorate. There are times when somebody comes down and said harshly and says, no decorations this year. Kind of like what I'm afraid what we experience sometimes. No mangers. I'm mm-hmm. sure they don't have mangers
mm-hmm.
settings. I shouldn't be sure of that, but
probably not in public places. Yeah,
it's not the center.
Yeah,
it's not the focal point.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But what another concept that I've worked with and I've loved. Years ago, I came across Sir Kenneth Clark's evaluation that at the center of Western civilization is a baby. And he said this distinguishes Western art from all other civilizations, where it grew up, it developed with a focal point of a child in a manger. And you know, so much of the art was developed around that center, and of course you had paintings of the Epiphany, which was even more impressive to the early Christendom,
mm-hmm.
because here you had kings bowing down to a child, and that suddenly makes a whole different sense of sovereignty. And it's not just power that rules. It's something. There's something other than that, which is sacred and holy and mm-hmm. heavenly.
Mm-hmm. You're going to have to get the book to get the rest of the story. So this is a really great tease. Before we run out of time, we just have a couple minutes left. I want to ask you, who is the book designed for? It's not just a picture book. It's a little bit more of a story. So what age group would you say it's for?
Well, you could give it to an 11-year-old, and he could read it. But I think it would be good for a parent to read, because I'm touching on things in China that are extremely difficult. They've had a very sad history in the past, since the revolution. So there is, I don't know if a child would understand the Cultural mm-hmm. Revolution.
Sure.
And there's some references to that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that there's a lot there that someone would say, oh my gosh, there's been so much going on in Chinese history. I'd like my children to understand this.
Mm-hmm.
I would, one out of every five people on this planet is Chinese. And we know so little about the country. Mm-hmm. And it should frighten us in some ways because it is communist.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very difficult to live as a Catholic or a Christian there. So that should be, you know, we should be praying for our Chinese brethren.
Sure. Is this the first book that you've written, or do you write a lot of different books on a lot of different topics?
This is my first. This is the first I've had published. Let me put it that way.
We know how that is.
And I thought, you know, if I'm going to have this published, I'm going to need illustrations because I'm not sure it's an easy sell. And my artist, Gwyneth Thompson Briggs, is a friend, and she encouraged me to publish this, and I was very glad that she did. I asked her to give me a picture that I could use with the book to give to an publisher, and she came up with the image of my artisan, and I find him very sweet, contemplative, and peaceful, and I just thought, that's perfect, that's what I want to convey, and so with that in hand and a few other pictures, I think the publishers said, oh yeah, I get this, but it's not immediately an easy pitch, but it is very, the picture, I love the pictures in it, so
yeah,
I hope you do too.
They are really neat. What do you hope, two questions, what do you hope people take away from the book, and where can people get a copy? We've got about a minute and a half left.
Okay, Sophia Institute Press, that's where you can get the book. You can get it on Amazon, but always better to support the publisher, Sophia Institute Press. And then what do I hope to get? That other people understand that they can live out their faith, practice their faith in even the most dire circumstances, but they can always have hope. And my character, Zheng Jian, has a little replica of the child Jesus he keeps in his pocket, and that is something he clutches onto, which is a symbol of his hope. And in the end, he has successfully conveyed this sense of hope to others. So I want people to pick up on that sense of hope and how necessary it is for all people, especially people in communist China.
There's so many lessons from the book. I can't wait to read the whole thing and really delve into it with my family. So you've done a great work there for our church and for our children. Our guest today has been Priscilla Smith McCaffrey, author of Christmas Blossoms. You can get that at sophiainstitute.com. Thanks so much for being our guest today, Priscilla.
Thanks, Bridget and Jim. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Catholic Radio Indy, converting the culture to Christ through radio, featuring 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Do your friends a favor. Tell them about Catholic Radio Indy.
Across America, there are quiet heroes changing lives every day. When disaster strikes, they lend support. They give hope to those in need, warmth to the cold, and help to those society ignores. Over the past decade, they have given more than $1.5 billion and 700 million hours to charity. When it comes to making a difference, the Knights of Columbus are on the front lines. Become a knight and be the difference. Learn more at KOFC.org.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer. Jim Ganley and I are in the studio. And for our next segment of Faith in Action, we're joined by author Anthony DiStefano to talk about his two Christmas books, The Beggar and the Bluebird and Joseph's Donkey. Welcome to Faith in Action, Anthony.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Now, are you based in New Jersey or out east somewhere?
I am in New Jersey. I come from Brooklyn, New York, and that's where I grew up, but I am in New Jersey now.
I would have never guessed by your accent. I wasn't.
Yes, I know, the bane of my existence. I open my mouth and everyone knows where I'm from right away.
Well, hey, that's not necessarily a bad thing. Did you grow up Catholic? I'm kind of curious.
I grew up Catholic, but my family wasn't very church-going. We weren't very religious. I didn't really come to be committed to my faith until I was in my late 20s, so it's very odd. My whole family was like that, and yet I write Catholic books and Christian books, and my youngest brother is a Catholic priest. So God works in very interesting ways.
That's really awesome. Well, I was curious when I was looking at these two books, The Beggar and the Bluebird and Joseph's Donkey, which, by the way, I thought are really awesome. It was just a nice break from my regular, Catholic radio stuff. It was just like so delightful to read both these books, actually. It was wonderful. But I'm curious. It seems like you have a lot of books. How many books have you written?
About 25.
Oh,
about
my 25. Gosh.
There's about six books for adults, adult Christian nonfiction books, about 13 or 14 or 15 maybe children's books, and then a few gift books as well.
Wow, you're busy. You're a busy guy. When did you start writing? I'm curious.
Well, I've been writing all my life, but I wasn't able to actually get published until I was in my 30s, my late 30s. And in 2003, I wrote my first book published by Random House called The Travel Guide to Heaven, which was published in 18 different countries and a lot of languages. So I started off very blessed with that book, and I've been writing constantly since then, which is ironic since my whole life I thought I didn't have a creative bone in my body, and I used to pray to God to give me ideas and inspiration. And when he finally started doing that, the ideas haven't stopped, so I've been lucky.
It's like, slow down, God, slow down.
Yeah.
Well, let's start out with Joseph's Donkey. Tell us about the book. Summarize it for us.
Sure. Joseph's Donkey is about a donkey that was purchased by St. Joseph shortly before his marriage to Our Lady. The donkey naturally helps Joseph in his carpentry business, hauling stones and wood. But he also plays a key role in all the major events recorded in the infancy narratives of the Gospels. So, for instance, he carries Mary to Bethlehem, where she gives birth to Jesus. He takes the Holy Family to Egypt to flee from the evil King Herod. Later on in the book, he takes the family to Jerusalem, where the 12-year-old Jesus is lost in the temple and then found again. So the book is a way to introduce children to these famous biblical events, especially the Nativity, the first Christmas, and also a way to introduce them to the character of Saint Joseph.
Yeah, I mean, we just had our share-a-thon not too long ago, and it was dedicated to Saint Joseph, and we all learned a little bit more about Saint Joseph, and it really that Joseph in the book just came so alive. I mean, the artwork is just absolutely beautiful. I mean, the humanness of all three of them, and really, it just really brings the Gospels to life. I want to ask you about the illustrator.
Sure. Well, her name is Juliana Kolesova, and she's from Russia, and she worked with me previously on a big best-selling book called Our Lady's Wardrobe, which came out last year, and a follow-up called Our Lady's Picture Book. She specializes in photorealistic-type paintings, and I wanted to use her for the same reason that I used her for the book on Our Lady, and that's to show children that, hey, St. Joseph is real. Mm-hmm. Just like Our Lady is real. He's not some cartoon character that you see in the games that you play. He's not some fictional character. He's real. He's really in heaven, and right now he could really help us, and he really lived 2,000 years ago and really protected the Holy Family, and all of that really happened. And one of the ways to get children to understand that is by creating illustrations that they feel they could reach out and touch the characters. And I think she did that admirably.
Well, what's really interesting about both your books that I was able to review, The Beggar and the Bluebird and Joseph's Donkey, they are so powerful in the sense of really, really bringing the Gospels to life. You're not just telling a story. You're really communicating in an art form, the way the church does in its all its splendor. You know what I'm saying?
I hope so. I mean, that's a great, great compliment. I try to do that. I try to write as simply as I can, but to give children, and by the way, the adults reading the books to the children. I'm always aware that that mothers, fathers, grandparents, aunts and uncles, older siblings, they're reading these books to the children, and you shouldn't miss out on an opportunity to evangelize them or to perhaps remind them of truths that they've forgotten. So in this book about St. Joseph, not only are we introducing children to the character of St. Joseph, but we're also, the theme that we're exploring is finding Jesus, because the big part of this book has to do with finding Jesus in the temple. And that's what we're trying to do. A lot of times we lose Jesus, you know. It's not because we're so sinful or terrible, but because we're so distracted. We get caught up in so many different things that we lose the Lord, and our lives start getting messed up. And Christmas time is a great time to find him again, much the same way that Our Lady and Joseph did, by going to the temple. You know, go to church and receive the Jesus, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist, and be right on track again.
Sure. I'm going to steal one of Bridget's questions here, because it's a great one. How did you choose to write from the perspective of Joseph's donkey as opposed to Joseph himself?
Well, that's a great question, and you know, there's two reasons. One of them is that in Scripture, St. Joseph himself doesn't say a word. There's no recorded words of St. Joseph. We see St. Joseph protecting the family, listening to dreams, going here and there, but he doesn't actually say anything. That doesn't mean he didn't speak, but Scripture doesn't record him saying anything. And as a good traditional Catholic myself, I don't like to put words into the mouth of St. Joseph that aren't in the Bible. Whereas if I create a fictional donkey, then I could make that donkey say anything I like and think anything I like, as long as it's theologically correct. So in this book, the donkey mirrors St. Joseph. He's humble. He's hardworking. He protects the family. Mm-hmm. And so in coming to know the donkey, children could come to know St. Joseph. But in addition to that, the reason for using a donkey is the reason why we use animals in general. Animals are less intimidating than adults. Children reading books about animals immediately fall in love with the character of the animal, you know, and so they can enter into the story more immediately, and the story can have more impact on them than if we're just dealing with adults. So always try to use animals when we can.
Well, the donkey's really cute too, but we got to move to the second book.
Okay,
the Beggar and the Bluebird. Tell us about that book.
The Beggar and the Bluebird is kind of a modern Christian fairy tale in the tradition of Hans Christian Andersen and the Grimm brothers. It tells the story of a little bird whose flight southward for the winter keeps getting delayed because of the strange requests of a local street beggar. The beggar asks the bird to fly on various errands of mercy for him, like delivering bread to a homeless man, or delivering money to a widow with children, delivering a gold cross to a sick boy in the hospital. And as a result of performing these acts of kindness, the bluebird gets caught in this massive winter blizzard, snowstorm, and all seems lost until a surprise ending, which I think we could reveal here on your show.
Spoiler.
Shows that the street beggar is not really a beggar at all, but an angel of God.
Yeah, it's really another uplifting story, and again, on so many levels. I wrote back in an email to you and it screamed Matthew 25. I'm wondering, yes, was that scripture in your mind when you wrote the book, or
yeah,
was there another
one? I think it's on the back cover of the book, part of it anyway, about truly whatever you do for the least of one of my brothers and sisters, you do for me. The book is in a general way of introducing children to the corporal and spiritual acts of mercy that Jesus spoke about. And it also, of course, another scripture passage that might scream out to people is the Hebrews 13, which says, "Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without even knowing it." So yes, the book is very scriptural, which I always try to make my book scriptural. And I always try to have images from Scripture in the book so that later on when children get older and read the Bible, it won't be so unfamiliar to them. They will have already seen certain images and lines that they recognize.
So what has it been like for you? We've got about maybe 3 or 4 minutes left. What's it been like for you to write these two books and then maybe all of your books? I mean, how does it impact your faith?
Well, it's obviously writing Christmas books and children's books is very joyful. It's a very joyful thing, especially when you get letters and emails and you know, different kinds of communications from parents or from children themselves saying that a certain book consoled their child, you know, when their pet died or when their grandparent died. So it sort of makes your life, it validates your life. But aside from that, you know, it teaches you to be a better Christian yourself, because in trying to write simply, it's very difficult to write simple.
It
believe
is.
It or not. It's very paradoxical. When you try to write simply, it's sort of like giving directions to somebody who doesn't have a good sense of direction, or trying to write a recipe for someone who, you know, to duplicate a certain kind of meal. Anyone who's done that knows that you really have to think about what you're saying. You really have to think about the subject from all the different angles in order to distill it down to its essence, make it very clear. So in doing that for children, with these rather complex theological themes, it's really emphasized to me and focused for me the things that are most important. And, you know, I have to put my money where my mouth is, and I try to practice what I preach. So it's, I think writing children's books has not only been joyful, but it's made me a better Christian and a better Catholic.
Well, I also might want to mention that you do have a, and maybe these are public, but you sent me a couple YouTube videos of you reading the book, which I thought were also good. I mean, you still want to have a copy of the book, but I thought those were great. You did the voiceover on those, and I thought that was really awesome.
Thank you. Well, people do have to listen to my nasal New York voice, unfortunately, but if they can get past that, yes, we put these things out for free. The publishers don't mind, because we want to get the word out to as many people as possible.
Well, you mentioned the publisher. How do people get the book, and tell us the publisher?
Sure. The publisher is Sophia Institute Press, a fantastic Catholic publisher. You can get the books directly from Sophia. But I've also been blessed. My books are carried everywhere. They're at all the Catholic bookstores. That are all the mainstream bookstores like Barnes & Noble. They're on Amazon. They're in all the catalogs. Been very blessed in my life, and my books are pretty much all over the place.
So you can get the book at sophiainstitute.com and many other places as well.
Yes.
What about, do you speak by chance?
I don't. I just don't have time. I work full-time in the pro-life movement, and I write these books on the side, believe it or not. So I don't have a moment to go out and on the rubber chicken circuit, as they call it, and I don't really have time to speak. So I write these books and set them off out into the world and go about my work.
Well, it's been great to have you speak with us today as our guest. Our guest today has been Anthony DiStefano, author of The Beggar and the Bluebird and Joseph's Donkey. You can get that at sophiainstitute.com. Thanks so much for being our guest today.
Thank you so much for having me.
God bless you and your work there, all your work there.
Thank you. Thank you.
You've been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how everyday people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. This program is underwritten in part by the Indiana State Knights of Columbus. If you have suggestions for topics or guests for this program, contact Bridget at CatholicRadioIndy.org. That's B-R-I-G-I-D at CatholicRadioIndy.org, or call us at 317-870-8400.